Blog Talk Radio.
Recruiting Animal here on a beautiful June 26, 2019. You know, I did what Jerry does usually. I had something to eat like 2 minutes before the show started, and I had to go run, get a drink of water so my throat wouldn't be sticking to itself. Anyway, I still have something to say, and I'm able to say it now. The big news this week is that yoga pants at work has totally exploded as a topic of conversation in the recruiting world. Amy Miller, she started it, but Animal Show regular Kathy Manis has taken it to startling new heights. She posted two or three pictures of herself in gym clothes asking if it was okay to wear this to work, and this response she got was just enormous, right? And a recruiter who was commenting pointed to a change. She said, "Times have changed. I have found that candidates over the past 5 years require more instruction as to what they should wear to an interview than ever before. I send my candidates an email full of interview tips, including ideas for interview attire." Attire is a word I don't use, but she does. Anyway, she says, "Even so, I had one client in the financial tech industry tell me that my candidate arrived in a short skirt and a low-cut sweater, and she was 22 years old and just out of college, and it wasn't going over very well." She says, "I myself," no, she didn't say anything else. Forget about her now. She had this candidate, but I'll tell you that I myself noticed this started about 5 years ago, she's right, but with a discussion of flip-flops. Is it okay to wear flip-flops to work in the summertime? Okay, and here's my take on it. You can't fight it. Times have changed. You can't force a younger generation raised on the ever-expanding freedom that democracy brings to wear clothes that are uncomfortable all day. Why should they? Just because you want them to. Who are you, eh? Some kind of god? No way. In the 20 years from now, the President of the United States will be wearing tennis shoes to work. I guarantee it. And if you don't believe me, I want you to just keep listening to Jerry. Jerry! That show is
it! The Recruiting Animal.
Thank you, Jerry. Fantastic. What a sound. It's so inspiring, for not just for me, for everybody. Jerry? He must have gone to get something to eat. I was talking to him a few minutes ago. Anyway,
no,
I'd also
like
to thank... Okay, well, you could say acknowledge my compliment. I didn't hear you say a word, okay? Okay.
Oh, really?
Anyway, I'd like to thank my sponsors, PC Recruiter, the Swiss Army knife of recruiting software, HireTool, H-I-R-E-T-U-A-L, the super-duper sourcing tool, and Honeit, H-O-N-E-I-T, the phone interview technology. Our guest today is actually one of the sponsors, Nin Tran from HireTool.
Oh!
Yeah, it looks like Nin decided to come just after 12. He's a very busy man.
Yeah, yeah.
He cut it as close as he could. Area 619, is that you, Nin Tran? Who's area code 619?
Gosh.
It's me.
They're
Kathy.
Not even answering. Who is it, Kathy?
Yeah.
Okay, well, can you talk a little louder so we can hear you?
It's Kathy.
Okay, so
can
Nin hasn't shown. Yeah,
how
I can
many
hear you
times do you have to tell Kathy to not be on a speakerphone from across the room? Animal, I understand
not,
your frustration.
I am not. I'm talking into the phone.
You
okay,
weren't a
Kathy.
Minute ago.
Okay, well, let
sure.
me toss out. Nin Tran is not here yet, okay?
Great. We get to disparage him and publicly ridicule him.
Yeah, we
for
did.
I love Nin.
That's standard operating procedure.
Okay.
I love Nin. He's nice.
Yeah, that's great. Okay, but let's talk about some things that the questions I was going to ask Nin since he's not here. Okay, what do you see in the recruiting world right now that you don't like? Anything?
Who are you asking?
Anybody, Kathy? You want to answer, Kathy? Go ahead.
I'm seeing what I don't like are it seems like the newer sources and recruiters who are coming on board want to look for shortcuts and don't want to really connect with the client.
Got an example?
Or the candidate.
Got an example? We've heard it many times. Do you have one example at least?
I don't because I haven't been working. But
okay, what's wrong with a shortcut? Jerry, do you have anything to say about that? What's wrong with a shortcut?
Nothing wrong with a shortcut. I'm looking for them all day and every day.
Yeah,
but
okay.
Jerry, don't you want to talk to your candidate? And don't
how do
you want
I don't
to
have
talk?
To? Yeah,
you
how
don't
do
want
I don't
to
have to?
I'm
why?
Surprised. I'm surprised that you, because you seem so hands-on.
Oh, I am. What do you mean? You mean, you, yeah.
Area
come
code
on,
210.
Kathy.
Is that Michael J. Cox? Michael G. Cox?
Yeah.
I'm trying to understand what you mean by I seem so hands-on. What do you mean by that, Kathy?
You seem to be very, I mean, in a good way, you know, very good with digging in deep with the client and the candidate. And
sure.
I would assume
but
you would
do it.
But
it doesn't have to all be on the phone. Sometimes.
So you don't do it all on the phone. I thought you did for some reason. My mistake.
I did in 1988.
Okay. My
1992.
Mistake. My mistake.
I gave it hell throughout the whole 2000s. It's
okay.
2019.
Well, there's Kathy, there's always been recruiters who get the resume, don't interview the candidate, and fire it out, okay? That's always
that.
Been going on.
I would
that's
never
been going
do that.
On since forever. Okay?
Yeah.
So, I mean, can you blame it on young people? I don't think so. Okay.
No.
Michael G. Cox, is area code 2210, is that Michael G. Cox?
Yes.
No, who is it? Speak up.
Yeah, it's me.
Who? It's Nin?
It's you? Can you talk louder? Can you talk louder?
Sorry.
Michael G. Cox, is there anything you see in the recruiting world that you don't like today that's going on?
Wow. Where to begin?
You tell me.
I would
no.
say
okay.
no. Well, the lack of understanding the importance of timely feedback is a major issue. From recruiters and also hiring managers, they take too long.
Okay, but is that something new? I see more complaints about it than ever. I have to say, is it something new? Is it a trend? Can you talk louder?
I'm trying to. No, I don't think it's new, but it's certainly more important now.
Why?
Because. The market for the type of individuals that we're trying to hire is much tighter.
Okay.
There isn't, you know, 4% or 5% unemployment rate. It's zero for the type of individuals that are clients.
Okay,
and
so,
and
yeah, these dopes, these stupid hiring managers, they think they can take their time and see as many people as they want. They don't understand they have to move fast. Why are they so stupid? Do you have any insight?
I don't think they're stupid, but
I know you can't say that, but I can. Go ahead.
Okay.
Why are they doing
you
it?
Can say, I just feel that there is a part of that would be like there's a fear of missing out on that next person that they might be speaking with. So they
okay.
tend to drag their feet when they think they've got one that they're very interested in hiring.
Uh-huh.
And there might be another one out there. They want to put somebody on hold, and it's
I think that it could be a result of video gaming. Video games, they train people to have these. They can't. It's like an addiction. They can't give up. And these guys, they want to see more. They don't want to pull the trigger ever. Okay. Anybody else want to comment on that? We don't know what's anything. We just know what's happening. And Michael G. Cox, what do you do? Just sit down with your guys and. Explain to them 100 times, or do they get it when you tell them?
No, I don't think they get it. They get annoyed when I keep following up with them and you know, either demanding feedback and then making assumptions based on that feedback. Okay, so you're not interested in moving forward with this guy today, correct? And they're like, no, just hold on to him. And I'm telling them that's not going to work. So, yeah, they're just difficult recruiter conversations to have.
Okay, and you can't go above these guys' heads and report them to somebody?
Internally, I can, but externally, that's not going to work out very well for a third-party recruiter.
Not for a third party. We're talking about you. Maybe you don't want to talk about you. You got some kind of promotion now, and, you know, you don't want to blow it, okay? I understand. Okay.
No. I do speak to hiring managers and then their managers and VPs of sales and presidents on a very regular basis now.
But these guys are supposed to be smart. These guys are supposed to be smart. That's how they get into those senior positions. Why don't they get it? Why can't they catch on?
They are very smart, and they get into those positions because they're very good at what they do. Now, that doesn't mean that they're very good at everything that recruiters do. They have their specific speciality.
Hey,
and
what you're telling them, Michael G. Cox, is one and one is two. Hey, you guys read the newspaper. You know unemployment is very low, okay? We got a good guy. Don't ask me for three more before you make up your mind. You're going to lose the early people. There's not much to understand there, okay? Maybe you have to let them get burned a few times and do tons of extra work just to find someone for them before they learn.
What's the subject here? I'm fading in and out. I mean, you're losing the audience.
Jerry, here's a question.
If you have one.
I was going to ask. Do you remember any mistakes you've made in recruiting since you've been in for a long time?
Mistakes I've made, nothing out of the ordinary.
Really? Well, what's an ordinary mistake? What have you done that you regret now?
Just hearing what you'd rather hear versus, you know, digging in for the reality of the situation.
What do you mean? Give me an example. Come on.
Well, haven't it? You know what I'm talking about. Give me an example of that.
Okay. Well, I can't say that I can't. Well, yeah, I'll tell you. It's when I've got a candidate, and I know they're not right, but I feel sorry for them, and they're really interested in the job, so I'll present them anyway against my better judgment, even though it might make me look bad. You know, I'll say, you know what, I have strong reservations, but this person's very interested. Just take a glance at the resume. Usually, if I had more backbone, I would say, look, John or Paulette or whatever your name is, this job is not for you. You don't want to hate me for it? Go ahead. Okay, and they do hate you. Okay, I've been on retained searches where you turn them down and you've told them the company name, so they go over your head to the hiring manager. They'll send in stuff, and then they send us the letters and say, look at this stupid recruiter. You know, the letter says, I spoke to this recruiter, he's so incompetent, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, that's what happens. Okay, yeah,
so
that's when I
sometimes then do you find yourself introducing a candidate to the company, even though you don't believe that they're a good fit, but you just want to block out any other recruiter's opportunity to get credit for a candidate?
No, I've never done that. I've never sent
you
in people as padding.
No, it's not. It's just, you're stirring up some activity, and you know that your candidate kind of got wind of who the company is, and they're going to send a resume. And maybe a company might look at a candidate a little more broadly if there's no fee or no agency and they can put some of that fee money into training. What do you do then? Yeah, what do you do? You're telling me you've never had that situation?
I've never done it, no. And I'll tell you what else I haven't done. With the situation I was talking about with Michael G. Cox, when, you know, you've got a great candidate. Yeah, I like him, but send me two more. Okay, so some people say send in two people who, you know, don't break your neck looking for really good people. Just send in two people to show him that the person he's got is good. He'll feel satisfied or she'll be satisfied that she's seen, you know.
I can see that. Due diligence. I have no problem.
Have you done it?
I probably have, man. I've been at this a long time, dude. I've done just about everything that you can do in this business.
Michael G. Cox, is that legit? Michael G. Cox, is that legitimate?
Yeah, it's legitimate.
It's legitimate.
Sending in some cat and fodder?
It, Yeah, I've seen that happen. I've probably done it. It's just, it's even sending two candidates that you know are not as highly qualified as that first one, or
yeah.
that one that you want them to hire. It that also wastes a lot of time, mine and theirs.
Uh-huh.
But it works. That works also.
Kathy Manis.
The weird
Any
thing
opinions?
Is when they hire one of those second candidates.
There's Kathy
oh, really?
Again. Speakerphone. She's two rooms down
he's
the hall.
He's on Michael G. Cox. Michael G. Cox is on some crappy phone today, okay? But I want to hear what he has to say.
Is your,
Kathy Manis?
Yeah.
Kathy,
on,
are you
people.
Still there? Kathy?
I'm here, but I sort of zoned out.
Okay,
yeah.
I'll let you.
This
I'll
show's
let you
going nowhere,
Although,
dude. You ought to just shut it down.
Yeah.
Why?
Right.
Why? We know. Why? Well, maybe you don't like my questions. But, Kathy, did you hear the intro was about you? Did you hear the intro?
I didn't hear the beginning. But,
okay, well, that
you know,
was about
I had
you.
No
okay.
idea that it was going to – I almost took the post down because I thought,
no,
you
don't
know,
do
people
that.
Are just go- – I didn't. I figured I'm not going to let them – you know, it was a joke. It was like, you know,
yeah.
not a big
okay.
deal to me. But
yeah. Nobody knows what you're talking
boy,
about anymore.
Some,
yoga pants. We're moving on. I just
right.
wanted
some
you to,
people got
yeah,
really
we're moving
intense.
On. Okay. Okay.
Didn't
Kathy, have
wait,
you
wait,
ever put
didn't,
Kathy,
wait, wait,
Kathy? I want to
wait,
ask you a recruiting question, not about yoga pants. Have you ever
no,
put
didn't
pressure?
No, but didn't the guy leave your group because of that discussion?
Oh, one guy. There's over 10,000 active members. One guy.
Yeah.
Oh, well, good for you.
Good for you, animal.
Yeah. Okay.
Good for you.
Okay.
Care,
what's the question?
Yeah. Thank you.
Okay.
Have you ever put pressure on a candidate to close them or her? They're iffy, they don't know, and you somehow say, you've got to make a decision now, and I think this is a job that you should accept. Have you ever done that?
I have, but I don't think I have not been successful if the candidate, if I hear from the candidate, I've got to talk to my wife, I'll call you on Monday. I know
yeah.
that's a no. I mean, I don't think you can, you want to make a change for that candidate. You want to make his/her life better. And if you have to pressure them, then it's not a good close.
Okay, but have
you
pressured them? Have you said, look, I think you should take this. You're making a big mistake.
Yes.
If you don't.
Yes, I have.
Why
who hasn't, animal?
I would never do that. How do I know? I never worked in a niche, okay? So I can't say that I know everything that's going on in the whole market. Jerry, but
your customer is paying you to get that person on board. Sometimes you got to be a little scrappy about it. That's what they're paying you to do.
Right,
yeah.
They don't want to do it.
Okay, but
do
Jerry,
it.
If you can't, especially in your case where you're placing contract people, if the person comes
but
aboard,
I do just as much
we,
direct placement. You always want to slight my experience as if it's some.
No, I'm not
slighting
it.
Business.
Don't be so paranoid.
Place direct hires. I know what I'm talking about.
Okay, but here's my point. Wait, why don't you hear me out first before you start complaining? The
Stop
point
always
is,
always saying
you,
that. Well, you just do IT contractors of old people.
Yeah, hold on. It's easier for a contractor to leave, okay? It's not like they...
I'm not
they,
talking
you know,
about contractors.
Okay.
I
well,
understand
for anybody,
the context,
if you,
and I've answered accordingly.
If you twist someone's arm to take the job, and then they're not... They don't feel, you know, 100% certain when they go in, and then another recruiter calls them, they're more likely to leave. Wouldn't you say that's true?
I'm not worried about it because it hasn't happened to me. 30 years.
Okay.
I've got a history of it doesn't happen. So
it's
theoretical crap and shove it.
Okay.
Jerry,
okay.
Can you be more specific?
No, I mean, animals, sometimes I think that your perspective is that of a man who's really only ever made two or three placements a year.
No.
Seriously?
Yeah.
No, seriously.
There are all levels of people listening to this show. And so I think what he does, it touches all of those levels. And that's important.
Okay, here's a related question.
He's touching the bottom level of experience.
No.
I'll take halfway up all the way to the top.
this is what Jerry's doing.
I'll cover people who actually send invoices.
Jerry, are you on a speakerphone? Sounds like
you are, Jerry.
No,
you are.
Okay, there we go. Yeah. Okay. Look, Jerry. Okay. What you're talking about is the kind of recruiter who is a used car salesman.
No, I'm not.
Okay?
You asked,
yes,
have
you are.
I ever? Now, if you would have asked, is it your standard policy and procedure to always hammer an offer home, regardless of concerns of the candidate? Let's say, of course not. How ridiculous. You said, have
okay.
I ever? So stop
okay.
getting people to answer the have you ever in your 30 years questions and then turning it into that's how you always do it. I'm sick of
okay.
it. The jig is up, and I've finally made a stand. This show is no longer going to be that kind of a format. No trick bag
here,
bullshit.
Here. Okay.
Wow.
Look, I read an article by a woman recruiter, and
who?
Essentially it's how to avoid selling. She says, I refuse to be a recruiter who I don't
who?
Know her, okay? I won't mention her name because she might not like it. She
and
says,
she
I refuse
wrote
to
something publicly.
Yeah.
Yeah, who?
Okay, but I might be misquoting her, okay? I've just got my notes
see,
here.
Oh, see, now we're getting there.
That's
go ahead,
far.
Misquoter.
You know, I'm not mentioning her name, so I have no obligation to use her exact words, okay? But she says, I refuse
oh, I see.
To essentially.
I see.
This
I'm
is what she
said. Up. Somebody
okay.
said
she
something,
says,
but I'm not going to mention them, so I'll just make it be whatever I want it to be.
Yeah, why not?
Book.
I could. Yeah, just
yeah,
use what
ahead.
She said as inspiration, okay?
Okay.
Okay. Here it is, if you let me get it out. She says, I refuse to be a recruiter who comes across like a salesperson. I want to be an impartial career consultant. She didn't use those terms, impartial career consultant, but essentially that's what she was trying to say, okay?
Yeah, I agree with
so
that. I agree with that.
It doesn't sound like it from what you just
dude,
said. You are a salesperson, okay?
No, dude, if you don't have what do I want to say?
Candidate-centric. You're saying you're candidate-centric.
And verbal repertoire to not sound like a salesman, then get out of this business. We are in sales. The key
okay,
to successful sales is to never be thought of as having sold anybody anything. Jeez.
But you
see why
are
I'm kicking your ass. It's apparent.
Okay, yeah, okay, you are kicking. You're a better salesperson.
It's apparent.
I don't have any
of everything that this profession is. It embarrasses
yeah.
you. You hide from it.
Yeah.
We're in sales,
okay.
dude. Companies
okay,
pay
then,
us to bring people on board.
Okay, let me ask you a question. How do you sell something without seeming like a salesperson?
Dude, you'd have to sit here and watch me day after day because I do it, and I'm good.
You can't articulate it. Michael G. Cox, are you with him? Michael G.
Dude,
Cox.
Dude, you can't articulate it because it's a methodology. It's a style. It's an approach.
Hold
it's
on.
An
I,
understanding
I can...
beyond just a few word tracks. If you're looking
no, no,
for some word tracks, then you're on the wrong call.
Okay, hold on a second. A few minutes ago, I gave Kathy a clear example. Hey, this is a great job for you. You got to take this job. Come on, let's pull
who would
the trigger
ever say
on this.
That?
What?
Gosh, who would ever say that? You have to take
lots
this job.
Of people. Lots of people. Am I wrong? Kathy, come to my defense. Now's your chance. Now I need a defender.
Well, I think you are wrong. I mean, you don't go about it that way. You don't
right.
say you have to
yeah.
take it. I
no,
mean,
no, that's Kathy. You are not listening. Jerry said no one would ever say that, and that's absolutely untrue.
Oh,
okay,
I would never say that.
Well,
that
don't know
what
they're doing that say that. Sure.
I wouldn't say that either.
Yeah.
I mean, that's recruiting 101.
Yeah, but I Michael G. Cox, are you with me on this, that there are recruiters who talk like that?
Yes,
you didn't,
there
that
are
wasn't
recruiters
your
who
question.
Talk like that.
That wasn't your question.
Right.
There are recruiters who act like that, and
you're
I
being
think
slippery
it's,
animal.
Yeah, I mean, I don't like that. That gives us a bad name.
Okay,
but
Michael G.
No,
Cox. No, Michael G. Cox. He's got to. I'm going to send him coffee one day. He's got to earn it. Okay. Is recruiter a salesperson? Is a recruiter a salesperson, Michael G. Cox?
I don't think so. It's more consultative. If I say yes, then you're going to say that you sell at every turn. And if, for example, if somebody didn't want to take the job, my response would be, well, these are the reasons you said you're looking. These are the things that you said
exactly.
You were looking for. Sounds like this position has those things and alleviates these things. Help me to understand why you're not wanting to move forward today.
Exactly. That's how you phrase it.
But is that sales?
Sounds like sales to me. Jerry, is that sales?
That's what we're supposed to do, man.
Man, it sounds like sales
to me.
Here's what you're
overlooking, Animal, is changing jobs. And I'm not talking about people who are unemployed that we get a job. That's a whole other deal. But changing jobs is probably the most stressful and traumatic thing that people decide to go do. I mean, it's right up in there with losing a loved one in your family or divorce.
Oh, really?
It's huge. So
you
go through that process, there's going to be times where it's human nature to just kind of, you know, retreat to the familiar just a little bit. And we, with our vast experience, need to help them through that. I would never, ever convince somebody to take a job that's a bad move. And I think that's what you think that selling is, convincing somebody to do something or buy a product or service that is not for them.
Or in their best interest.
That's just ripping people off.
Maybe
you assume that sales is cheating people. Is that what you think?
Sales is convincing
somebody to do something that's not in their best interest?
Well, salespeople generally, and this is off a different topic, but I want to come back to this. Salespeople generally put their best foot forward. They don't say, watch out for this. They say, this is why this is good, and this is why you should make this purchase or move on this. They don't tell you the negatives, okay? So sales is lying to a certain extent quite often.
You need to get out of this business.
What Michael G.
Seriously.
Cox just...
Now sales is lying. See, I think we're uncovering something here. You're
I've always been
of
frank about this.
I've talked about this many times. Shiver in the corner thinking about practicing our profession.
Hold on a second. Come back to what Michael G. Cox said a few minutes ago. He actually put someone on the spot. There's many people who would feel awkward when they know the recruiter wants them to take a position, and they're grilling them, essentially, even if it's in a nice, soft voice, okay? Well, geez, you said you wanted this, and this job has this. Well, where are we missing out, right? That's putting someone on the spot. Michael G. Cox,
dude,
are you denying that?
No, that's exactly what we do. Wow.
Okay. But Michael G. Cox is in that
this
sale.
This is really starting to kind of. This is opening a broader can of worms here, Animal.
Yeah.
I don't think so.
I don't know
if
you're qualified to lead this show any longer. I really don't. I'm losing faith in the captain of this ship.
Yeah, okay.
Animal, I think you're totally off base, but, you know, to what Jerry had said earlier. It's not all people that are changing jobs. It's not difficult for everybody, but the types of positions that we're placing, yes, it's very difficult for somebody to make that massive move. And they do want to retreat to the things that they know already. So you don't have to convince, because if I have to convince somebody, that's probably not going to be a really good placement. But if I just walk them through the process, and it doesn't have to be high pressure, it's going to be a lot easier for that person to understand what they're leaving behind and what they're going to.
It sounds like
convincing
to me.
And also, in this economy, the Trump economy, it is so good for candidates that our product is no longer the one offer they might get. It's one out of three or five offers or opportunities that they're looking at concurrently. You better have the skill set to help shine the light on your offer, or else you're going to lose more times than not. If you're just out here saying, well, here's our offer, fingers crossed, call me if it's something you might want to talk about, you know, good luck.
Okay, well, hold on a second.
Time
if
to
you're
bail.
Being wait a second. If you're being like that woman said, an impartial career consultant, wouldn't you say? Yeah. Wouldn't you preface your remarks? Those, and I'm using Michael G. Cox's example. Wouldn't you say, look, you know your other offers, okay? You know what else is out there that you're talking to other recruiters, but I want you to hear, you know, and you have the right to make a decision. So you tell them, you put the power in their court. Then you say, I'm going to tell you the virtues of this one compared to what you said you were looking for. That makes it a little different. That makes it a little different
than
just saying.
That sounds to me like you're trying to get the guy to accept your offer. That's sales, animal. How dare you?
Hold on a second. You're giving them more power to say no. You're making them more comfortable saying no.
I don't even know what you're talking about of this ambiguous theoretical power closer used car salesman. What are they saying?
Michael
job,
G. Cox,
kill your family. I don't understand.
Kathy, before we go on, you know, Kathy, am I leaving you out? Kathy, do you want to say anything? Because she runs always to, she goes to Facebook and announces there that I talk over her. I don't let her talk. I'm a terrible male chauvinist.
I never said that. I never said those words. You just always gloss over me. You gloss over me and go,
Some things don't need to be stated.
You know,
yeah.
So I don't know. I don't have anything. I'm curious, animal, if you do the type of closing that you're talking about, do you push your candidates
I'm not
to
a good
yes?
closer, and I often work with other larger teams where I do the sourcing and candidate development and pass the final. Like, for instance,
you hide behind the power closer.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes,
all the while
yeah.
jabbing
usually.
At the approach.
Yeah.
Oh, even worse. Even worse.
Okay. Well, I got to tell you something. I know you said this is a crappy show, but I think it's a great topic we're talking about.
Yeah.
We're talking with people. We're going
and
into
I think
a way
it's pretty
deeper.
Obvious why.
Way deeper than we usually do. But here's the thing. See. If you're a career consultant, you tell the person you're not pressuring them. I don't want you to take any. I don't want you to make a decision
right.
you're not happy with. You tell
like
them
it.
That
and
up
then
front.
You go ahead and pressure them.
Yeah,
nice. I'm not going to clobber
it
you over the head and then clobber them over the head.
Yeah. No, you don't clobber them over the head. Michael G. Cox wasn't clobbering the guy, but if he didn't give the framework in which he's speaking, it does come across like you're hurting my feelings. I'm going to feel really bad if you don't do what I want because this is
what
makes sense.
That
didn't.
I didn't ever say anything like
he
that.
He didn't even.
Yeah.
You're going. Yeah, dramatic. Very dramatic animal.
Yeah, I am dramatic. I'm expressing. What's going on in the candidate's mind? Nobody likes to say
you're
no.
You're out of touch,
they
don't, man.
But
no,
not
nobody.
What Michael G. Cox said he didn't go that down that road.
What did he say, Kathy? He said the candidate said no. I don't think I'm interested. And right away he said, well, let's take a look at what you said before, okay?
First of all,
Michael
he never
G. Cox
said no. I'm not interested.
Yeah,
he
the candidate
just,
never
he,
said that.
Michael
yeah.
G. Cox.
You're
let's go back to
things.
You.
So,
yep. Yep. I don't like
he
what you're
said,
doing.
He said, if the candidate says no, didn't you say that?
No,
Michael
he didn't
G. Cox?
Say that.
Let
We're
him
have
answer.
To review the record here.
Yep.
Michael G. Cox, didn't you say, if the candidate says no, yes, I heard you clearly say that. And then I say,
okay.
You know, what about what you said
well,
before, essentially? Michael G. Cox, do you want to answer or do I have to move on?
No, I can answer. If somebody goes through the entire interview process, a candidate that is highly qualified and then starts to get cold feet, I'm not going to sharp angle close the guy and use high pressure tactics because I'm going to lose that candidate 1 month in, or he's going to freak out, or he's not going to have a very good experience, and it's just not going to go well.
Right.
But if I just simply say, look, we spoke about the factors that were pushing you out, that were causing you to be, you know, looking for a job. You took my call. We discussed why you were open to taking my call. These are the reasons that I got down. Don't those still exist? And then
you mentioned these were the things that you were lacking or these are the things that you were looking for. Would you agree that this new job has those things? Now, what has changed?
Can I interject here? I don't like what's happened here with this show, okay? We were having a discussion about how to address and talk to a candidate who's struggling with a decision, maybe can't make a decision, needs to think about something over the weekend. After we all shared our unanimous consensus, you then came back, Animal, and said, no, the candidate said no to the offer. So now are we talking about how to talk with a candidate that is declining an offer? Because that's a whole different set of conversations versus a candidate who has a couple different ongoing interviews and they're just not sure right now.
Okay, well, Jerry, what about this? When the candidate says, you know what, I've got something else that I think I like better, what are you going to do then?
All right, man, good luck.
Oh, you're not going to say, you're not going to try to compare?
No.
You're not going to say, what are they offering? How's it different?
You drop these scenarios in a vacuum. I've been talking to the candidate. We've discussed, yeah, there's a couple other things. I'm also interviewing a key bank and should be getting an offer there Friday. And so by the time they're comparing offers, I know what we're talking about. You must get hit with stuff out of the blue like a fish across the face. It doesn't happen to me. It
Jerry.
Does happen to me, and then that's a whole other scenario. You're talking
Jerry.
About predictable, manageable processes, right?
Yeah.
Or do you just want to talk about weird one-off scenarios? Because
no,
in that case,
about...
you better be able to just think on your feet and have a large background of experiences to handle it.
Okay, but Jerry, if you're saying that if it's you're having a conversation and the candidate
yeah.
says, Jerry, I think I'm going to take the one over at
yep.
Keybag or whatever
okay.
it was you said, and you're going to know right away. You're going to know right away that he or she is taking it because of these factors. You don't even
probably.
Have to ask what.
Right, more likely than not. Yeah.
And will you always agree with the candidate that she's making the right decision when she goes with the other company?
Usually, because it's their choice.
No, that's not it. A candidate is
don't
they
tell
make
me my
mistakes.
Answer isn't it. That's my answer.
No,
usually,
you
I
know,
agree with them and say, "Hey, good luck." Of course.
Yeah, what if you?
They've made
what if
they've made their decision.
Yeah, but what if you privately think this is not a smart move this person's making? You know, people aren't geniuses, Jerry. You must admit that. They're not always going to make it, and they don't have the same market knowledge necessarily that you do.
What
so
market knowledge are you even talking about? Give me an example of this market knowledge we're talking about.
Okay, well, maybe you know that other company, or maybe you realize the potential with this company, how it compares
yeah,
to those
it.
Of other.
I'll mention it, sure. Like I'll say, well, I do know because I've worked with this other company for the last 15 years. You know, they always promote people internally or they're never afraid to invest in new tools or, I mean, whatever it might be, sure. I mean, I do want to earn a living doing this, man. I'm
yeah,
not out
you,
here saying, well, shucks.
No, you said
looks
you're
like
happy to say no. I'm
but
happy to say no. That's what you said.
Goodbye.
So long after all the work I put
played,
in with you. Yeah, go ahead.
Over.
Go there. I don't care. See if I
what?
Care. That's what you said. Kiss off, pal. Yeah, go
no,
ahead.
Dude.
I'm not going to put up a fight. You say, I'm not going to put up a fight. That's what you said, essentially.
Probably,
go ahead. Yeah.
Probably not. If,
okay, Michael,
if you're in this business
yeah.
and you are not having candidates accept other offers from time to time,
uh-huh.
you're either not doing any business. Well, I mean, that would be the only way. The only way
yeah.
that you can be in this Trump economy blazing as it is, and not be experiencing your candidates going to work in another place, you're simply
yeah.
not in business.
Okay, but look what
Jerry's
doing. First of all,
every
he's
day,
making,
frequently, all
Jerry's
the time.
Making political announcements. So, Jerry, you're
no,
actually
not.
Saying
it's the Trump economy, isn't it?
Yeah. Okay. You're saying, look, this is what happens all the time, and I'm saying, okay, how do you deal with it? And I'm going to come back to that in a minute. But first, I'm going to do a few.
Here's
ads.
What I'll say.
The first.
Good luck.
The first one is for
enjoy
PC.
Yourself.
This is
congratulations.
Okay, I got to tell you something. I think this is a fantastic. I think this
Talk
is a fantastic.
Call me when you want to move on.
I think this is a great episode of the Recruiting Animal Show. It's turned into something pretty interesting.
I'm
going
to start charging
people
money for this because obviously most people aren't aware of this shit.
Okay, let me do an ad. Okay, I saw a recruiter named Nick Mazur, M-A-Z-U-R, right, on Facebook, and he said, "We use PC Recruiter and we love it. We love it. I have demoed a ton of systems, and PC Recruiter has the most robust set of features. Other products do one or two things better, I'll admit it, but overall, I think PC Recruiter has the most features. We do multiple industries, and we work with four different kinds of searches. And trust me, PC Recruiter is very versatile. This is a guy who was in the trenches for years. That's his endorsement, okay? So please, take it seriously and check it out at PCRecruiter.net. Now I'm going to do an ad for our good friend.
You're doing another ad?
We're 40 minutes into the show.
Yeah,
I got to get the ad.
Halftime at the Super Bowl.
Okay, sorry. If you let me get it done, it'll be done.
I just wanted to say I'm sorry. I'm obviously coming from a world of daily experience and trying to align that with your world of theory and heard about it from somebody else. It just, they're going to clash.
Jerry, you know what?
And I'm sorry.
You don't recognize what you said from 1 minute to the other. You said that every day.
That's the thing with these theoretical scenarios. You keep, after the fact, changing the scenario.
No,
you can't
I don't.
Do that, man. No,
you
I'm saying the guy told you to screw off and burn in hell, and he's never going to work at your company, no matter what. Like, okay, well, in that case, I have a different answer. Seriously.
You said, it's too bad I can't do an instant replay. You said, look, if you're in this Trump economy, there's people turning you down all the time. I said, okay, so what do you do when that happens? And then you say, oh, you're making stuff up. You're crazy.
Whoa,
you know what?
You're even making this up. That's a complete refabrication.
I feel like I'm Alice.
I can't keep up.
I feel like I'm Alice. I've gone down the rabbit hole, okay?
And the first person
I'm going to meet is Jerry. Yeah, for sure. Okay.
So can I ask you, Animal, have you had any turndowns this year?
Turndowns? What's that? I got to tell you what I got to do an ad, Jerry. Please, just let me get it done, okay? H-O-N-E-I-T, honeit.com. is phone interview technology. It records your interviews and turns the key questions and answers into separate audio clips. And you know why? Because that helps hiring managers hear the motivation, the you're making me laugh, the personality and the enthusiasm. You heard Jerry. That's what a recruiter sounds like, but they're not all good like him, okay? Some of them are boring, okay? But you don't have to worry about that. If you've got Honeit, you can share the story with a hiring manager in the candidate's own voice. It delivers a ton of info you can't get from a resume, okay, or some kind of dry report. It turns it all into a transcript that's searchable for keywords anyway, okay? And so go check it out, please, at honeit.com. Yeah, you know, I still got to do Hire Tool, but I'll do that after. Hire Tool.
Just do it now. Do it.
No, I'm going to come back to it. I don't want to lose. So, you know, I'm sorry I had to do these ads. I'm sorry because I just felt we were into something that was really good, and I like discussing it. Okay, but I'll leave it. What about you, Kathy? You still with us? Yoga pants girl? Kathy? Have you gone to the beach already?
No, I'm here. I'm here.
Okay,
I want to follow up on Jerry's question. Have you had any people turn down offers?
No, the answer is no.
He answered that with, what's a turndown?
Yeah.
Right. So then the reality is you are not currently in the recruiting business.
Okay. Well, actually, it's you know.
No,
there's no way to be in recruiting right now
and not have a turndown.
Hold on.
Am I right, Michael Cox?
Hold on.
I've had more turndowns in the past 12 months than ever.
Nuts. Okay. Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah.
A turndown, but Jerry, a turndown, but not because somebody else is coming with a similar position. Okay, turned down. They just
so
didn't want
to. They're dealing with candidates that aren't even marketable. Wow. Well, I'd like to get into that niche.
Okay,
that'd be awesome.
Fine. Okay, let me come to Kathy. Kathy wanted to say something else. Did you have?
No,
no
I didn't.
She asked a question.
No.
Okay.
No, I didn't.
Negative feedback. What do you do when you receive negative feedback on the performance of your candidate during the first 3 months that he or she is there? Okay. Do you contact the candidate? What do you do?
I've never had that happen because once the candidate leaves, it's out. I don't hear anything about it. I keep up with the candidate, but I've never been contacted by a client saying that they're not
okay.
performing.
So your boss has never been contacted either and come back to you and say,
no.
This schmo you recruited is
no.
a loser.
No.
Anybody else? Jerry, have you had to handle that? Oh, Michael
G. Not that I can recall.
Oh, Jerry, you've never...
The first,
you've never...
The first 90 days is really hard to evaluate professional-level people. That might happen like in temporary labor or something. Or like with, you know, somebody that's supposed to be running a machine all day and, like, they simply
okay, well, let's
don't turn
let's
it on or something.
Let's extend it to the first year.
They refuse to run
year.
The machine, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah. Let's extend
so,
it to
no,
the first year.
No, it doesn't happen
year.
To me.
Let's extend it to the first year, okay? Have you ever had a client come back and say, Jerry, I'm not happy with the person we hired from you?
No.
Michael G. Cox?
I have had it happen with contractors, though, not get extended or... You know, not finish out the project. Had one guy that was an alcoholic simply
yeah.
just stop showing up for work. And
uh-huh.
the customer said, hey, man, this isn't working, so give me somebody else.
Uh-huh. Okay. Michael G., have you
yes.
ever had that? So
yeah,
what happens?
Internally,
well,
yes,
yeah, internally, that's where you work these days. You're internal. So have you ever, you know, the hire manager hires somebody. They pulled the trigger, okay, do they ever come back to you and say, I'm not happy with this person?
Yeah, absolutely. I
what
hear
do you...
that quite often.
Quite often?
Well, now in my new role, I really don't do very much recruiting. It's more management. But when I, you know, over the past 12 months when I was still in recruiting, I heard it a couple times. What we would do is reevaluate what it was that they were looking for, because often they're just wanting to say, here's a title and we're looking for somebody that has this kind of experience. And I'm always going back to try and get more information about the team, the job, what they have to do, what they have to accomplish. And they get annoyed by all of those questions, just preferring to rely upon assumptions. So when we do that and they hire somebody, then they get pissy about the fact that he or she isn't performing as well as they would like. So
uh-huh.
these isn't problems it, originate it, almost always right at the point of taking the order.
Okay. Is it ever the case where, well, I'll just finish this off, where they come and complain to you and then you say, look, what was it that you were looking for that this person is not accomplishing now, and they sort of come back like Jerry accuses me of doing with a completely different story. Well, I wanted this, you know, and you say, look, you didn't tell me that's what you were looking for. You hired the person for this. You see, now you're saying you hired him for ABC, and you, before you told us it was XYZ. Do you ever have to confront them with that? They're really, they're confused. The hiring manager doesn't know what she's looking for, and that's why she's unhappy later on.
Maybe this is just isolated to me, but recruiting sales executives were often faced with a moving target of what the hiring manager wants, especially when I compare that to what the senior leadership is looking for in a sales candidate. And those things don't often, I would say quite frequently, they are not in line.
Okay, so you know what? Now you're getting confusing to me, but I'm going to do an ad. I want to hear what your new job is as well, okay? Unfortunately, okay. we can barely hear what you're saying today because you're on such a great phone. Hey, everybody.
Sorry.
Hire Tool. The guy who was supposed to come up today, he's a great guy. He didn't show up. H-I-R-E-T-U-A-L is his company. His name's Nin Tran, and it is the most famous sourcing tool in the world. I'll put I'm getting paid to say it, but it's true. I saw superstar recruiter Amy Miller answering a question on Facebook about her favorite sourcing tool, and here is what she said. Hire Tool, hands down. I recruit engineering managers in big tech. I've done side-by-side comparisons between Hire Tool, an artificial intelligence sourcing function, and other brand name tools, and there is no contest. Hire Tool provided relevant results with full contact info. The other tool, she only measured it against one, provided a famous one, a bunch of keyword fits that completely missed the mark. I'm happy to discuss it with anybody. For me, there's no question. Hire Tool, Hire Tool, Hire Tool. Go to HIRETUL.com. Start out by trying out their free Chrome extension. Michael G. Cox, what are you doing now? Can you talk loud so we can hear? What's your title? What's your job? I'd like to know.
I am basically managing sales and technical recruiters across the United States that do recruiting for about over 30 different companies that are across the U.S.
So how many recruiters is that?
Right now, I'm at about 21 and hiring. I've got offers that were accepted on 3 and probably going to hire 3 more.
So what does your job actually involve? What do you do since you were a hands-on recruiter until now, right?
Yes. And so, it involves a lot of training and enabling and having conversations with hiring managers and VPs of sales at these companies and presidents at these companies. And I think one of the main most frequent conversations that I'm having is to understand what it is that they are looking for a person to accomplish in a sales position so we can be on target in our recruiting efforts.
How come that isn't obvious?
Like really
hold on a second. Why isn't it obvious what they're looking for in a sales position? A certain quota or what? Like, what's the confusion?
The confusion is more often than not, hiring managers have a profile in mind, but that profile is built on what the candidate must have versus what the candidate must do. And when we focus on must-have, you know, sometimes they're thinking must have a college degree, must have B2B sales experience, and what I'm trying to get from that is how is that going to serve them in what they must accomplish. So once we
okay.
get to
you know what, I got to tell you, I have to. It's interesting to me, but we can barely hear you. Okay, so I'm gonna move on. One last question, and I can answer this one myself, but I'll ask everybody else first. Okay, trust your gut. Here's a guy named Hubert. He says, I always say that to my colleagues. Trust your intuition. All my hires were done thanks to my guts. I think trusting your intuition is actually one of the hardest parts of a recruiter's life and requires a lot of courage. I don't agree with them that it requires a lot of courage. If someone has the requirements, just like Michael G. Cox said, they fit the bill, and you know, you just get the feeling this is a great candidate. Okay, now people might say that I'm biased, but I feel, yeah, you know who a great candidate is going to be through your feelings. Am I wrong about that, Jerry? Jerry, still with us? Your head in the fridge. He's gone. Kathy?
I'm not gone.
No,
I was across the room and didn't want to answer.
Well, why don't you answer, okay? And then I'll
I'm
come
answering
to
now. I always trust my gut. Always. Who doesn't?
Okay.
You can usually tell within the
courage.
First.
It's the right thing to do. It takes it takes courage to disregard what your instinct and experience is telling you. It takes stupidity, actually.
So, Jerry, you don't think your gut is just expressing your bias, you know?
No,
oh, this is the kind of person
never.
I would like to have a beer with,
no.
and it doesn't mean
I can damn
the
near predict the future with it.
Okay. Okay.
It's kind of a hard thing to deal with because I'm always right.
Uh-huh.
Oh, God.
So is Mussolini, apparently. He used to have, if you were in school in Italy in the 1930s, there was a board at the front of your class that said, Mussolini is always right. And now we hear that Jerry is, too. Good for you. But I agree that you just get a good feeling about the candidate. And I know Kathy was agreeing with that as well. Am I right, Kathy?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, I think you can tell within the first 3 minutes of a phone screen.
And what is it? What is it? You just like the person. Isn't that it?
No, I mean, yeah, you want them to be likable, but you want them to also be knowledgeable, and you can usually tell that pretty quickly.
Okay.
And it's not just about the candidate either. I mean, it's about anything in business. You know, if you've seen,
what do you mean, Jim?
If you've seen the tea leaves 1,000 times and they always do X, Y, or Z, about anything. The company that won't call you back after you send the agreement 4
uh-huh.
days later. Well, you know what's going to happen. It doesn't matter what they then call and say. I mean, any of these things, we have experience. Experience informs our gut, but I prefer, you know, to maybe just look at it as more experience telling me what to do versus some ambiguous gut word. I don't even know what that means.
Okay, but your intuition based on you've seen it, just like a chess player, they look at all these boards from past games. So when they're actually in a game, they recognize the layout of the board. They know what's going to happen. Okay, so that's what Jerry's saying. That's the
and
same
you've
thing.
You've just
Gary
seen
Cook,
it so many times that you don't even need
uh-huh.
to write
well, okay,
it all
Jerry,
out or look
Jerry,
at
let
it.
Me ask a question. I didn't ask before. What about what Kathy said? I have to go ask the wife. She knows it's not going to. Nothing's going to happen. Do you agree with Kathy about that?
At that point, it's just kind of out of your hands, and you just say good luck. And every once in a while, it comes back. Yeah, my wife's
uh-huh.
thrilled. I just had to make sure it was cool. We're a partnership.
That's rare, though. I mean, why weren't they
talking to the wife?
Why weren't they talking to the wife the whole time?
Maybe they have been. You know, I mean, maybe they are. Yeah.
Maybe.
Michael G. Cox.
I could go out and buy a car right now if I wanted to. However,
uh-huh.
I'd probably be better suited to talk to my wife about it.
I did that, and I didn't talk to my husband about it. I just went out and did it.
Good for you, Kathy. Yeah. Michael G. Cox, talk to the wife. Is that a deal killer?
No.
Can I make a quick switch here? I want to interject. Maybe the candidate needs to talk to the husband.
Sure.
Right? Because you're not catching me in some sexist blurb here.
No, that's right. He's probably going to comment. He's probably going to bring this up 3 years from now and say that you were the one that said you only hire men.
Right. I only work with people who have wives, that little misses at home, barefoot and pregnant. I mean, who knows where this could go?
Yeah, okay. I got to tell you, everybody, this was a great show. I really thought it was great. Thanks very much to Kathy Maness, the Yoga Pants Girl. Now you're taking that title away from Amy. She's not going to like that. Michael G. Cox, the great Michael G. Cox, who's now in some senior position. When, you know, he's actually on a phone, I can make out what he says. I'll ask him what it is. And Jerry Know-It-All, Jerry Mussolini Albright. Thank you!